There are other sources of stress too. Household debt reached 206% of disposable income in 2021, well above even the 148% in mortgage-loving Britain. Some 60% of South Korean housing loans are floating rate, in contrast with America, where most lending is on fixed terms. As a result, household finances are squeezed more quickly when rates rise. The danger is that buyers like Mr. Kim turn into forced sellers, something he says he will try to avoid at all costs, meaning a slide in house prices becomes a collapse. This risk is enhanced by the country's bizarre rental system known as Cheonsei. Many tenants pay huge lump sums to landlords, often 60 to 80% of the value of a property, which are returned after 2 years. In the interim, the landlord can invest the cash as they wish. The system is a relic of South Korea's rapid industrialization, when mortgages were harder to attain. In a downturn, some landlords are forced to make fire sales to reimburse departing tenants, having invested in risky assets, including more housing, and lost the money. Stories about sudden defaults and vanishing villa kings, owners of dozens of rental properties, proliferate. South Korea also demonstrates how high household debt and asset prices can constrain monetary policy. Opinion is split about whether housing market frailty and the hit to household incomes will stop the BOK raising rates further. Oxford Economics, a research firm, thinks the BOK will keep going. Nomura, a bank, expects it to reverse course in May and cut the benchmark rate to 2% by the end of the year. Most countries are not as exposed as South Korea, but some, including Australia, Canada, the Netherlands, Norway and Sweden, share the same mix of high household debt and frothy property prices. All began raising rates after South Korea and have further to go before the pressure feeds through. They are in for a rocky ride.